Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Stephen. Thank you for singing. And as we get started tonight, I will look into our scriptures here in just a moment, but I felt led that I would want to tell everybody, for some reason, just feel like I ought to tell you, that we need to be looking for people that we can encourage. And I'm thinking specifically of cards and texts and calls that you might be able to make. You say, well, I'm not really a talker. Well, you can write a text or write a card. And I challenge you, if you ever need addresses, of course, if you've got the church app, they're on there. But you can always call the office, talk to Stephanie or Phyllis, and they'll get the address. So maybe there's somebody that God puts on your heart. I would first of all pray for them. That's probably why God put them there. He doesn't just do things by accident. Pray for them, and then do a little bit more than just pray for them. Then send them a note somehow. Tell them, I'm praying for you today. And you say, what would they think if they saw that card? They'd probably think, wow, thank God somebody's praying for me. They won't think it strange like you might think they might think it. But I don't know, just thought I would tell you that this evening. So I challenge us to be communicative to each other. Just communicate back and forth that we're praying for you or something's going on. So just challenge you in that. Well, we're looking at a couple in the Bible tonight, another couple that we're coming to that gives us a negative example, what not to do. And so as we look at that, we're going to see the setting is the early church. You can find your place there in Acts chapter 5. Hopefully you've got your handout. You can fill it in and follow along. But the setting here is the early church. We'll see that in the first point underneath there. But the early church, they're having a wonderful time together. They've got this one heart and one soul, it says in verse number 32 of the previous chapter, chapter 4. And they've got this one heart and this one soul. And then down at the verse number 31, we see, or back in 31, it says they were all full of the Holy Ghost. And so this young church, this group of people, they are in love with the Lord and they're also in love with each other. They're so happy that they're saved, and this God has called them out of whatever their background is. God's called them out, and they've got this kindred spirit, this wonderful community that they're finding comfort in, they're finding encouragement in, and so much so, we'll just look at it there. We'll get down to the first point we see there, but we see in verse number 32 of chapter 4, the multitude of them who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things they which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And so it was a special time, and most of the people that were in this were sincere, and they were just loving God and loving each other and just say, if my brother's got a need, I want to do what I can to meet that need. And as always, though, something happened that there were some that wanted to be a part of it in word, but not part of it in deed. So they wanted to look like they were part of it. They wanted to look like they were involved in it. But they did not want to actually do what was being done by the other people. And so as we look at this, I failed to mention, Miss Peggy, we're praying for your family. Her sister went home to be with the Lord as well. And so Miss Peggy and Miss Connie Fish as well. So keep them in prayer. I didn't have it on this list. I forgot. But we want you to be praying for them. But as we're getting back into this, it's just a little thought I want to share with you. But we see Ananias and Sapphira. So we're looking at chapter 5, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read these 11 verses and trust that we get the story if you don't already have it in your memory. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, or brought a certain part. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of this land? Whilst it remains, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. You better believe great fear fell on one. How'd you think about that if it happened in this service? Call one of you guys out and said, well, boom. Great something would fall on us for sure. And the young men arose, wound up, and carried him out, and buried him. They just get the job done quickly, move along. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife noticed how long the service was going on there. When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear. You think the first fear was great. This was really great. Came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. So here we are. You see that they brought this money and they said, here, we sold that land and here it is. But you got to see what's in the end of verse number, or chapter 4. Of course, we already looked at it, that to get the whole context of that. What it is all the people were there. And we're going to get to this in a little bit because some people say, that's what we ought to do today. Just bring it all in and put it in a big pile and let everybody take what they need. We'll get to that in just a moment, but that was what was happening there. They're just selling things and giving them in common, just saying, well, whoever needs it can have it. And so with that, Ananias and Sapphira have a piece of land that for some reason they're selling, and they're going to sell this land, and they know what other people have been doing, and that's where we get in trouble, worried about what other people think instead of what the Lord thinks. Instead of us living for Him, we're worried about, well, what other people think? Everybody else has been doing this. So-and-so sold a piece of land, and they just brought all the money in and said, there it is, just take whatever, just all things common. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they want the notoriety of doing what the others did, but they just don't want to do what the others did to get the notoriety. And that's the way we all are oftentimes. We'll come in and we want to work. There was a commercial one a long time ago that, and I don't remember what it was advertising, but something in cooking line, and it was supposed to be that this lady wanted everybody to think that she had worked really hard in the kitchen. And so as she got ready to go out the doors to deliver her goods to the family, she took some flour and just spliced it or just put it in her face like she'd just been working so hard in there, but instead it was something very easily made from the box or from the can or something. I don't remember. And so sometimes that's the way we want to do spiritually. We love the fact that people are saying, wow, look at what all happened in Bible school, or look at what all happened in my family, or look at what all happened in that crusade. Sometimes missionaries will have a big crusade. And people will say, wow, I want to be a part of that. But they don't really want to be a part of it. They just want to appear to be a part of it. And that's where Ananias and Sapphira, they want to be a little bit of it, and they gave some. And so we look at point number one, the early church, they were sharing their resources. You see that up in that end of chapter number 4. They were there. Verse number 33 of that chapter, great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. It was a happening time. Neither was there any among these that lacked, in verse 34. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. It was just a sweet, sweet time. And Joseph, by the apostles, who was Barnabas, his surname, he was the son of consolation. He is a Levite. And verse number 37, he also sold land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's not the first time we've seen Barnabas. He was used of God in other areas as well. Well, he's doing it here. He has brought that money in. So that's the setting. And Ananias and Sapphira said, boy, everybody, when they came in, shoo, look at what they've done. And they want it to be right along with everybody else as they shared their resources. These people were united. They were of one heart, one soul, the Bible says. They distributed their resources, and they had all things common. But here's where I want to talk about this, because somebody will take this passage of Scripture, and they'll say, well, see, it's just like a socialism. Everybody's supposed to bring theirs in, and then just everybody take what they need. Well, there's a couple problems with that. One, this was a group, not all of society. This was the church. This was the people who were called out. This was the people who loved the Lord. And then it wasn't all of society. And then the other aspect of this is not a command that God says, do this. This is just what they, of their free will, wanted to do. And so what I would say the equivalent to that would be, if God blesses you with a sale of something, if that's a car you don't need anymore, if that's a piece of land in this case, or just you come into some money, then if God says, you know what, I want you, and lays it upon your heart, and he wants you to give every bit of it, every last of the $2,000 you sold an old car, and he wants you to find some people in your church or in your community or somewhere, then I want you to give all that, then I would tell you, you should follow the Lord to the nth degree. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. Say, well, Lord, let me bargain with you a little bit. What if I give half of that, and I'll use the other half for me? If God says go, you better go. And so that was the problem. It was number one, it was a group of people, it was the church. It wasn't all of society. But then also, it wasn't a command. These are just what God was moving in their heart. And it may be, and it's happened at this church before, where we've had great needs and we came together and we said, we've got to give toward this. And that may happen again sometime. But there's also other times when God uses much of your income, maybe most of your income, for your living and for you to pay the bills and for to do what you need to do in life. And that's the way it works. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But the early church, they were just sharing their resources. But now we get down to the crux of our story. In point number two, you see here about Ananias and Sapphira, down in verse number four. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? Sure enough, they sold it, or before they sold it, was theirs. After they sold it, was theirs. And then we see that they said something that wasn't true. So what problem was hypocrisy? The hypocrisy was played out by these two. It wasn't that they kept back part of it. It wasn't that they kept all of it. It wasn't that. It was that they were trying to be one thing, but they really wanted to be known as something else. They wanted to appear one way, but live another way. And so any time that you are found in hypocrisy, you are going to find yourself in a difficult position. Amen. Isn't it that way in your marriage? You want your spouse to think that you're living for the Lord and that you're doing right, but secretly you're involved in something that's displeasing to the Lord and wrecking to your home. There's been plenty of cases that are that way, that somebody wanted to keep up an image that they want to, that they were so right with the Lord, they were so in tune with their spouse, but secretly they were doing all these things. Can I just remind us that be sure your sins will find you out? Amen. God may not kill you like Ananias and Sapphira, but if you've got a wife, men, then she's going to figure out, God's going to let her know what you probably are into, at least enough to start looking on her own. So hypocrisy was played out by these two. They didn't want to give their proceeds in verse number four. They wanted instead to be thought that they were giving all their proceeds, and that was the problem that they were had. But there was another problem. And that was in point number three. They were complicit in this. It wasn't that Ananias was leading Sapphira to believe that I did one thing and I didn't do the other. No, it was worse than that. They teamed up together. Our judicial system finds it more offensive and more of a serious offense when you premeditate and do something. There's different varying degrees, even with murder. There's harsher penalties when something is premeditated. You thought it through and then you acted upon it instead of just in the heat of the moment you went and did something. Now, you certainly still have to pay for the crimes even if you didn't premeditate about it. But there's stiffer penalties when you premeditate. And so we see that this couple premeditated. They conspired one against with another about what they could do to present themselves as something they were not. Now, we're going to get to the point where God killed them. Of course, we read that and you know the story. But you're going to say, well, I'm thankful he's not doing that today. And I am too. But the principle is still there the same. You don't lie to God, and you don't lie to anybody, but you don't lie to God and get away with it. So this was played out with the two of them. But worse than that, they were complicit. Look back in verse number two. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. So it wasn't bad enough that this fellow was leading in a bad way, but he's bringing his wife right into the wicked plan. You know, it's one thing when something happens and you just get caught up in it and you just overspeak or quickly speak and you say something that you shouldn't. But again, that's not what happens here. It's totally another story when you calculate how you want to be perceived by somebody and you play it out so that people will think something this is not. Can I tell you that you ought to be this way, not that way, but you ought to be the opposite, but you ought to be honest in everything. Here's what my dad always told us. He said, you ought to just tell the truth all the time because that way you don't have to remember who you're talking to. Because if I tell David Wampler something and then I tell David Sells something else, then tomorrow or next week or next month, when I come and speak about that, I got to remember, well, what lie did I tell him and what lie did I tell him? Or if I told one the truth and I told one a lie, I got to remember who I'm talking to. It's a whole lot easier to live if you just always say what's right. Now, that doesn't mean you have to tell everything. The Bible says a fool uttereth all of his mind. There's lots of things that go through this head. I'm glad that I had enough sense not to say them. And there are several things that they did go through here, and it went straight out, and I wish I hadn't said it. So I've played it both ways. Doesn't mean that you say everything that comes to mind, but you ought to always speak truth and speak correctly. And what we ought to find ourselves, the opposite of Ananias and Sapphira, is speaking out. Because again, the apostles told him, wasn't it yours before you sold it? Wasn't it your money after you sold it? You could have done anything that you'd wanted to, but it wasn't that fact. The fact was you lied about it. And of course, we know what happened. So they were complicit in what was going on, and that was the unfortunate thing. You see, there's another lesson there as well, but if you're married in this room, you don't ever do anything without dragging some other people down. Now, you may not have let her know everything about what's happening, but you're still going to affect him or her. And so Amy and I were helping, we're working with this couple long years ago. And so they told us they had a couple boys. They were one of our children's age. And they told us that because of them splitting up, that they were going to be able to do more for these children now that they'd split up than they could before, because now they're going to have two families to get loved from. You know what I don't know what the Greek word for hogwash is, but if there is one, that would be in the Greek word of the Greek of the New Testament, hogwash. And so I don't know what Ananias and Sapphira told themselves to justify it, because sometimes we can sound pretty good in our in our spiritual rhetoric, even though we know we're not being truthful, because maybe they said, well, God, they don't need it anyways, and we need it more than they do. And if we took it all in, maybe we just get it back anyways, because we're more in need than some of the people taking the donations that were given last month on that person's sale, on Barnabas when he sold his land and brought it in. The people that took that money because they said they need it, we're more in need than they were. And so we might as well just cut the chase, cut out the middleman. Instead of taking it in, then taking it back out of the kitty, why don't we just keep it out before we put it in the kitty? You understand how deceptive we get even in our own minds, trying to convince ourselves of what we're doing that's wrong, we think is right. Well, we don't think it's right, but we even try to convince ourselves. Am I the only one that tries to talk yourself into something you know all along the time while you're talking, it's wrong? Or you're trying to talk yourself into letting yourself let somebody have it about some issue. And God's already told you, study to be quiet. That's what the scripture says in one passage, study to be quiet. God's already told you, y'all just be quiet about it, but you really want to let them have it. And what do? You talk yourself into it because you say, well, if I don't tell them, the truth is the truth is the truth. And people ought to speak the truth. Speak boldly. And it's amazing how we take verses out of context when we're trying to talk ourselves into doing something that we already know is not right. And I don't know if Ananias and Sapphira did any of that, but I do know that they were complicit in this. And they came to themselves, and they certainly had more conversations than what the Bible alludes to here. Whatever they said, they convinced themselves that, obviously they convinced themselves that nobody would know. And if they thought that somebody was going to know, they obviously didn't think the punishment was going to be quite as severe as what it ended up being, or they wouldn't have done it. But whatever they had their conversations, they were complicit in those things. But then as we look on down, we see in verse number 4, the word is given to them, Peter, saying, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After his soul, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou, and that next word, conceived, meaning they've conjured up, they've decided. That means they did some thinking about this. Again, this wasn't just a little thing. They said, well, yeah, that's all of it. And that would have been wrong too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you just lie at spur of the moment, try to get yourself out of trouble, oh, that's okay. That's not okay either. That's still just as much wrong as anything else. But it's even worse when you're thinking about long and hard before, and that's what the scripture says, you've conceived this. And that means you've just come up with it. You've decided. You took some time, some preparation, and this is the best you came up with. You'd think if you had that much time to think about it, you'd come up with a better plan than what old Ananias and Sapphira had. But they they did that. They conceived it, and then that's what they offered up. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And so we see that it goes further than them just saying, yeah, this is all we sold it for. And that lie went straight to the top, of course, all the way to the Lord. But we've got to work our way through here. We see that their deception turns all the way into destruction. And that's our last point as we're looking at it tonight. Verse number 8, Peter answered unto her, this is Sapphira now, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, so much. This is the other way you know that it was a conceived idea. It was a worked upon idea. It was a complicit idea. They were together in it because Ananias wasn't around anymore. Literally, he was out buried. And she came on in, and Peter said, did you sell it for such amount of money? Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm sure he was thinking, I wish you hadn't said that. I don't know what he was thinking. That's what I've been thinking. I wish you hadn't said that. Wish you'd had a change of heart. Wish you'd have gotten right with the Lord somewhere. But she said, yep, we sure did. Yea, for this amount, for so much. They tried to lie to God, as the Bible says, up in verse number 4. And then we see in verse number 10, they died for their actions. Verse number 5, they died for their actions. Now, before we get into our little Pharisee ways and say, see, aha, that's what's going to happen to some of you people. If you lie to God, God doesn't make this pronouncement that everybody that does these things is going to end up like Ananias and Sapphira. You read the whole Bible through. There was a lot of other instances where people, some pretty rascally ways, and God didn't do it like this. For what reason? I don't know. I do know one reason. They were monkeying with, so to speak, or they were messing with his prized possession, the church. They were messing with the church and the unity in it, and they were messing with the sweet spirit that was there amongst those believers, and those believers were so enthralled with what God was doing, and great, great power was upon the work there, and then Ananias and Sapphira came in and messed up that wonderful spirit that was there, and God was not favorable toward that. So part of it was that he was keeping that in there because, as we already looked at in verse number 11, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I can tell you one thing. I bet the next people, they either brought in all the money or they didn't bring in money at all. They told Peter, this is exactly what we bought it for, but I needed to keep some out for expenses. And Peter says, you learned your lesson. Because he didn't have to give that speech like he did to Ananias and Sapphira. And so it was senseless what they did. It was prideful what they did. It was lying to God what they did. And of course, they paid the price for all of it. And so I wanted to bring this simple lesson tonight just because I'm looking through for couples in the Bible. And this was one that I thought we could learn great lessons for. I don't think that anybody is tempted to do that. But you know, it could be that God lays upon your heart. I hope he lays upon lots of people's heart to leave money to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I hope that he moves upon people's hearts when they're working out all that final will and all those things that they say, well, you know, I want to be a blessing to my church even after I'm gone. Wonderful. I'm their pastor. I love it. That's great. Because we've got plenty that we need to do. But as God's moving upon your heart, make sure that we do what God leads us to do. But wherever God leads you to go, be satisfied with that. Don't see the need to try to appear to be more than what God's led you to be. There's nothing wrong with any level of that. Just be honest. The problem, again, was not that Ananias and Sapphira didn't give it all. The problem was they were lying and being deceptive with what amount they wanted to give. And so in your life, with your money, your service, your all of that, let's try not to be duplicit or try to be hypocritical, and let's try not to be something different than we are. I don't happen to have to raise your hand. I was going to, but I don't even need to ask you to this because I know all of you are. I was going to ask you to raise your hand if you've known hypocrites, religiously speaking, in your life, but I don't have to ask you because I know all of us have. There's just something that's very off-putting when somebody tries to be something that they're not. Now, there is one thing when you say, I want to step up and be the best I can be. I get that. But I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking that somebody tries to appear as Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. And you know they're really not like that. Can I just challenge you to be who you are? Where you are, strive more to walk with God than you do to impress people with your walk with God. Just strive to be close to the Lord and strive to get in this book every day, and don't try to convince everybody else that you got in the book every day. If you do get in this book every day, people will figure it out. You know why? Because before long, you'll be nicer and kinder and more gracious and more forgiving and more loving and more pleasant to be around. And then they're going to ask you, what have you been doing? And then you'll have the opportunity, well, I have been reading the Bible every day. Instead of trying to impress people with what you aren't doing. And so may we learn these lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. Would you bow your heads together with us? Father, I pray that you would help us now. Lord, we're grateful for the lessons, even the bad lessons, that we get to know about being honest and forthright and, Lord, appropriate. I pray, dear God, that the our hearts. And Lord, as we've had this Bible study tonight, I pray that we've taken some things home that would just help us be honest. Lord, I pray for one thing, those of us who are married, that we'd take the great warning to certainly not lead our spouse into doing something that's wicked. And then, Lord, I pray before you that we would try to always be honest, strive to always be forthright. Funny, Lord, how we try to convince ourselves or try to convince you of something we know is not true. How preposterous. Help us, I pray, dear Lord. And if there's one in this room tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray also tonight that this would be the evening that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're here while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you are here and you don't know for sure that you know Christ as your Savior, this is Bible study night, but there's always a good day to put your faith in Christ. If you're here and you're a member, you're not a member, this is the first time you've been here, or you've been here 3,000 times. If you need to be saved, I pray that you would tonight. As the ladies play something through, if you're able to, would you stand together? As you stand, if God's speaking to your heart about some issue that He's laid on it, then why don't you do business with Him? You're welcome to come up to this altar and pray. Welcome to pray there in your seat. If you have something that you need to pray about and you want somebody to pray with you, then certainly we would. There's some deacons up here towards the front, and there's some good men and ladies of God that would help you and pray with you. If you're here to need to be saved, I trust that you would tonight. Step out and come. As they play one more verse, if the Lord's speaking to you, do business with the Lord there. Maybe there's something that nobody knows about but you, but God's convicted you of it tonight. You haven't been quite as honest as you should have with the Lord. Well, nobody knows about it. You don't need to come confess it to me for sure. You don't need to confess to anybody else, but you need to get it right with God right there. If you've been trying to, I say this with air quotations, pull the wool over God's eyes, how silly. The only one we're fooling is us, to think that we're fooling Him. And if that's you, my friend, then I challenge you to get it right tonight. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, Brother Danny Jenkins is going to come. He's one of our deacons, and we voted on some stuff. I talked to the deacons this past week. We wanted to bring some things to vote on tonight, I should say. So if you're able to stay, you want to be seated, we'll have